Doreen Howard. It is October 13th, 2005. It is 9:15 a.m. We are in the Labor Relations Conference Room at Fisher Body. We will be interviewing Carla J. Gates. Carla, if you could say your name and spell your last name and your address for the record, please.
Carla J. Gates, G-A-T-E-S, 2986 Beach Ridge Drive, Lansing, Michigan, 48911.
Okay. And go ahead.
And I'm Linda Johnson, one of the researchers also here interviewing Carla Gates.
Okay. Let's start out with... when did you hire in?
September 9th, 1976.
1976. That's a long time ago. Think back on that very first day coming through those doors. Give us your impressions of how it felt to come to work for General Motors that first day.
Actually, I go back a little bit farther than that.
Oh.
When I came in to fill out the application, and everybody was hollering out the windows when you came into the door, wondering, geez, do I really want to go to work in this place? Because it seemed kind of odd. So just a short time after that, I got a phone call. I had to come down to personnel. There was a small group of us in the office, probably less than 10, and I remember that all but me, they all went to trim, and they sent me to the body shop because they said I looked strong, and they needed women in the body shop.
You look strong. Oh, that's funny. So, body shop.
My impression of the body shop?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the body shop at that time.
The body shop was nicknamed the Jungle, very appropriately. There were sparks everywhere. There were gigantic weld guns everywhere. I remember thinking, what have I gotten myself into? It was very disconcerting. It was hard to know. Everything kind of looked the same, so it was very easy to get lost. It was overwhelming, very overwhelming. And scary, too, because, like I said, sparks were flying everywhere from all the weld equipment.
The first few days that you hired in, a lot of the areas, they tend to have new hire pranks. Did anybody try to pull any pranks on you when you first came in?
Well, the very first day that I was there, somebody took me out to the area where I was going to work in, and the boss didn't really have anything for me to do yet, so he asked me to stock up this bin of these parts. The assembly worker was putting on the car. And so I was putting these parts in the bin, not realizing that there was two separate parts, and they were supposed to go in certain places in the bin. So the guy let me get it all loaded, and then he called the boss and said, hey, these are wrong. So he had to quit doing his job. And I didn't get in trouble, and nobody yelled at me, and they all had a good laugh. But I guess that was probably the first prank, and it didn't take very long to happen, probably within the first 2 hours.
People like doing that kind of stuff. So, what job did you end up getting put on?
Had a job where I installed roof bows and then welded the piece in the trunk that held the hinges for the trunk lid. Mm-hmm.
Describe a little bit what a hinge bow is, or
exactly the, what you did. It was actually the roof bows were the support structures for the roof.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just laid those in there, and then had to step onto the body truck that was carrying the body and bring your weld gun in there and then put some welds in on the piece that was holding the hinges for the trunk lid.
Oh, okay. So was that a heavy job pulling that?
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. In the morning when you wake up, your hands would be kind of locked in the position of the trigger of the gun, and then pry them open, and then they'd do it again, and then you pry it open. It usually take a little time in the morning before your hands kind of relaxed.
How old were you when you came into the plant?
18. Just 18.
Just.
Mm-hmm. at that time, we said they needed women in the body shop. So how were you, what was the reception like being one of the few women that were down there in the body shop at that time?
Well, it was kind of interesting because when you would walk through, the guys weren't used to having to use the locker room to change their clothes. So you'd walk through and they'd be standing there in their skivvies, putting on their coveralls. So I just walked by and waved, and I didn't get too excited about it. They didn't care. I didn't care. But the bosses did put a stop to it shortly after. Not just me, but as the number of women increased, they told them they had to start using the locker room. But you could tell they weren't really accustomed to having women around, kind of doing their own thing.
Now, how long did you do that job in body shop?
I only stayed on that job for the first time for about 90 days because at the same time they were looking for female supervisors.
Okay.
And they asked me if I wanted to be a supervisor, and I really didn't have a good handle on what that meant, but they said I could go to days, and so that was real exciting because I played softball and you couldn't do that on second shift. And so I said, sure, I'll try it. So
you did that?
Yeah, I did that for about 4 years.
Oh, okay. So you weren't here very long, and they moved you into the management. Well, that was probably a different experience going from being on the line to the opposite of being the boss.
Yeah, it was very different. And they took me from the body shop where I actually understood kind of what was going on and put me in the cushion room where I didn't have a clue what was going on. It was a whole different world. And I was young enough to be most of the people that worked there's daughter, and fortunately they were all very kind, because I didn't know any more about being a supervisor than I knew about being a doctor, and I couldn't have been a doctor. So
okay, so you said you were there about 4 years in that arena. Then where did you move into after that?
Went back to work in production in the body shop. I know I had a job. They had a hot sealer application, still in the body framing, I believe they called it, for the body shop. And started taking classes to prepare myself for the skilled trades test, because I knew working on the line wasn't something I wanted to do for my whole life.
Mm-hmm. And now how long did you're currently a skilled trades employee, so how long did it take you from the initial time that you started preparing yourself for as far as education or the training? How long of a time frame is that you had to work on that? As far as your training to prepare for skill trades?
Well, I actually started going to school and stuff to prepare myself to take the test like in 1980.
Okay.
And so by the time I actually had to take the test more than once, but just continued taking classes. And then in 1985, they offered me an apprenticeship in the electrical trade.
Now, once you get offered an apprentice, what does that mean, and what does that entail for that?
The program can last up to 4 years. In our case, I think most of us graduated in like three, because there was overtime, and it's based as an hours-based program. Mm-hmm. We took our training at Lansing Community College, and then we had our field training with our electricians here in all the different departments in the plant.
Now, as far as skilled trades, you said in the body shop you were one of few. How many women were in the skilled trades at that time?
Not many, and there's still not many. At the time, I remember there being one female electrician, and there was at least one maintenance supervisor, a female maintenance supervisor that was an electrician. But those are really the only two that come to mind. Probably 10 or less now.
Tell me a little bit about how did the males in that group receive women coming into their arena?
It was was interesting. One situation that I remember really well was one of the older guys, and I, you know, older was a relative term because I was much younger then. He probably wasn't as old as I thought, but I'm guessing he was 62, and he had been in the trade for a long time, and he was in the area where they did construction, and I was assigned to work with him, and we had to run a lot of wire, a lot of heavy, big wire on a job, and I don't know what he was thinking, but I think he was concerned that we were going to be able to get this done. So I was convinced that no matter what, I was going to be busting my butt, we were going to do it, and he was going to be proud of me by the time the day was over. And sure enough, you know, we worked together, everything went really well, and I was pretty young, so I was strong enough to be able to keep up with the pulling stuff. And by the time the day was over, he said, I was concerned, but I'm not now. And I mean, I felt like I had just accomplished a major milestone because, you know, you get the blessing of the older guys, and everybody else kind of falls in line because they all respected them. So, you know, if this guy's saying, hey, she's all right, then you know you're going to be all right because they'll kind of look out for you too. And sure enough, that is what happened.
Now, as an electrician, are you assigned to one specific area, or do you go throughout the plant wherever your assignments take you, or how does that work?
Traditionally, you're either assigned to like the body shop, the paint department, the trim department. The only time that you might end up going anywhere is if you're assigned to the facilities group, and they would answer building maintenance electrical calls, which isn't an area that I chose to spend time in other than my apprenticeship. So most of my time is with the body shop.
So one way or the other, you pretty much stuck close to that body shop.
Yeah, yeah. Familiar.
Yeah. Okay. Were you ever on any layoffs or at any time during your time frame here?
Right when we topped out of our apprenticeship program, we got laid off, and I'm thinking that must have been 88, and I was laid off for about 6 weeks. It's the one time I remember. And then when I was finishing my degree at MSU in 92, I think we were off for about 6 months. And both times, knowing that the chance of coming back was very good, that it wasn't a permanent situation. But the 6 month layoff allowed me to finish my degree much sooner than I had anticipated, and I was actually very grateful for the time.
What's your degree in?
It was a degree in psychology.
Now, is that unusual for the skilled trades to be off for an extended time frame? Seems like they always, when everybody else was laid off, they still had a lot of skilled trades people still here in the facility working.
I think as a tradesperson, you probably have less likelihood of being laid off, but it certainly, as technology increases, can, you know, either increase or decrease the need for tradespeople depending on what the technology is. So.
And you have found that to be true from the time when you first got on trades till now? Have they made a lot of cutbacks in the amount of people due to technology?
Well, it's certainly you do more with less people. And, you know, the troubleshooting techniques have changed. You have computer laptops to assist where you used to have to do everything by hand. Now you have electronics to help. So it's decreased the amount of travel time and the actual time it takes to find problems. So there's definitely been a decrease in the number of trades personnel, and especially will be for Delta.
Now, do you have a partner that you work with in your trade?
Actually, a lot of the time that I spent as an electrician in the body shop in front and sheet metal, it was a one-person station. So there wasn't a partner per se, but if there was an issue that you couldn't deal with, there were troubleshooters you could call for backup and assistance.
Now, on a normal average day, take me through a scenario, what your typical day would be like. What was some of the things that you did on a typical day?
My day would start in the afternoon because I was a second shift employee for the most part. You'd arrive before the production people, make sure all their equipment was up and running, and stud weld guns, and they had parts called collets that had to be changed so that the studs would stay where they were supposed to until they were actually used. And like I said, make sure all their equipment was ready to go when they got here. And then I was on-demand maintenance for any trouble that they had during the evening. If something wasn't working right, if it just didn't feel right, or anything that I could do to make their night go better was, you know, I enjoyed making their life easier, and they in turn made my life easier because we all got along really well, and their equipment worked, and we were all happy.
That was the next question that I was going to talk about. Talk a little bit about the relationship between the skilled trades and the production people and your feelings on that.
The majority of the production people and I got along very well. My concern, the concerns I do have were when production people tried to do skilled trades jobs insofar as the things they were doing were dangerous, not just I don't want you to do it because it's my job. It's I don't want you to do it because you could really hurt yourself and not realize what you're doing. And, you know, they pay me to take that risk. You know, why would you want to risk your life to do that? Yeah, people not understanding that by virtue of their actions that they could be fatally injured. So I would get very frustrated with that situation to the point that I physically more than one time moved a non-maintenance person out of the way so I could do my job. But it was definitely the minority and not the majority and just a couple individuals that were slow to learn that, but eventually did learn after they did in fact get hurt that, you know, they needed to call the proper people to fix their equipment and not just try to do it themselves.
Talk a little bit about the safety background and training and some of the different things that you personally had to go through in order to keep up with changing regulations or whatever it is that you needed to do in order to perform your job.
Over the last 20 years, there definitely has been a lot, especially in the electrical field, as far as arc flash hazards and special clothing and special gloves and knowing where to stand when you throw a breaker or dealing with high voltage. Initially, I mean, if they needed to turn off high voltage breakers, you just did it. Now you have to have special clothes and special training and situations that were probably pretty dangerous and nobody knew, you know. You just did it because it was part of your job. Now you know that you have to have, you know, special clothing in the event that there's any kind of an arc flash because the damage from that, you may look like nothing's wrong when you first get an electrical burn, but after two or three days, the damage starts to present itself. Your skin dies because you don't have blood supply. Your internal organs are all damaged. And It's not something you want to have happen. That's why it's important to have training to do your job, and that people that aren't trained shouldn't do it. And we have now even where special gloves you have to wear if you're dealing with 50 volts nominal voltage or higher. So safety is very much an issue for electricians.
Tell me a little bit about camaraderie and friendships that you've developed over your time here.
traits or everything?
Just with traits people, with production, people you encounter throughout your day. Do you have any special friends or people that you do hobbies with here in the plant or outside the plant? You guys have friends?
You know, you don't realize how important the people you work with are until you don't see them for a while. When I was in training, I was over Building 66, so I didn't see the people every day that I was used to working with. And the days I'd come back to the body shop, it would take me probably a good hour to get from the door just to where I needed to go because there was so many people that I hadn't seen, and you just have to talk to them all and catch back up and visit. So just know so many people. You can't go anywhere, even if it's out of town, without running into somebody that you know and work with that, you know, you have to have a conversation with. But I have probably a small handful of friends that I deal with not only inside the plant but outside the plant as well. My best friend was one of the troubleshooters when I was first an electrician, and we've been friends. I've been friends with his whole family. Watched his kids go from being kids to being adults, and watching his granddaughter now become, you know, a kindergartner. So, you know, we've been good buddies now for 20 years. And
become part of the family.
Yeah, it's a merging of families, actually, yeah. You know. They're part of our family, we're part of theirs, and we're all part of the, you know, GM family.
Now that our plant is closed, and give me a little bit of your feelings of the closure of our plant and what that means to you.
It's going to be difficult. I have mixed emotions about being here when they start to tear it apart. It's going to be a significant day, but I don't know if I want to see it. I do, but I don't. You know, I've spent more time here than any place ever. You know, 29 years is. I haven't had my house for 29 years. I've never been in one school for anywhere close to that. So, it's like home. It'll be hard.
A significant part of your life was spent here.
Oh, absolutely.
Will you be here when they're doing? Is that part of your job?
No, I'll already be at Delta, the Delta plant. So I won't have to be one of the ones tearing it apart. That would be exceptionally tough. I don't know if I could do that. That would be like hurting your mom, you know. I don't think I could do that.
You touched a little bit on the Delta plant. You said you were going to continue over there. What will you be doing at the Delta plant when you get out there?
I will be in the body shop again as one of the team members. I think they have 5 teams in the body shop. I'm not sure which area I'll be. I'm not real familiar with them all yet. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to rotate through all the areas anyway. So I look forward to the challenge. It's going to be different. It's going to be exciting. It'll be different that everything's so new versus some of the challenges because things were older.
Is there anything at all that you wanted to talk about that you might want to touch base on that we haven't talked about?
You said you liked pranks. So
yes, I do.
I'll share. I don't know if you really call it a prank. Excuse me. But the weld guns in the body shop were water cooled. And it didn't take most of us very long to figure out that if you hit a piece of paper with the weld guns, the welding caps would stick and come off. And so then you had a really nice high-pressured squirt gun that you could douse just about anybody you wanted with water if they were anywhere close. So our favorite trick was if we saw paper in the area where we were supposed to be welding, you had to aim for it and hit it so you could pull that cap and spray somebody, accidentally, of course, that was close by. And the favorite time, of course, was when the supervisor was in the maintenance crib just on the other side of where the job was. And, of course, you had to aim the gun away from the work area so The supervisor would get wet, and that was always kind of fun. They were pretty good-natured about it. They knew what you were doing, but they took it in stride, and they would come out and scold you, but not very hard.
Did you ever get involved in any of the dinners or any of the other lunchtime activities? Some people did Bible studies or card games or anything like that. What did you do for your lunches?
That's a long time ago. Actually, at one time, and they put a stop to this pretty quick, but they let us do it for a while, is I was a softball player, and there was a fellow that was a fast-pitch softball pitcher for one of the local teams, and so he would practice pitching, and I'd catch for him out in the body shop, and they didn't seem to think that was a good idea with all the metal, but we did it for a while, and it was pretty fun. I probably just ate lunch. I didn't do anything too exciting, but dinner. Go ahead.
How about those dinners maintenance was famous for having at the holidays? You know, where they'd take up the whole aisleway and they'd bring in all their retirees.
The holiday dinners were great because it gave you a chance to see all the retirees that had people that had retired would come back in, and you'd see them, and, you know, fortunately, you know, if they were able to be there, they were in pretty good health, and it was nice to see them and know that they were enjoying their retirement, and, that sense of family. I mean, it was not only with maintenance, but, like, with all the people here. I mean, that's just the overwhelming thing I can think of. It's just been...
Were you known for a favorite dish to bring to one of these? That they'd say, Carla, bring?
No, I'm cooking is not my strength, so...
Mom's cakes?
My mom was a better-known cook than I was. She could send in stuff that people enjoyed a lot, cakes and muffins and stuff. But the thing that I did like to do was just remember events like people's birthday, you know, and do something, even if it wasn't a huge party. Bring in a cake and just make sure that their day was noticed and everybody knew it was a special day for them. I had fun with that.
You have a few different organizations and volunteer activities outside of the plant. Can you go into a little bit of what you do for outside activities?
Well, lately... My schooling has been a predominant activity, my master's degree, which is nearly finished. But prior to the beginning of that, I was very active with the Fast Break Club, which is the fundraising group for MSU women's basketball. And I was a very avid supporter for that group for many years, and got my nieces, who are now 21 and 26, very involved with them at, you know, they were 4 or 5, so they spent their whole life supporting MSU women's basketball with their aunt, thinking that was just very cool because they got to attend all sorts of functions with the players and see some really good role models for young women. And it was, I think it benefited them immensely, and I know I enjoyed it. And here last year they were at the Final Four, so...
Yeah.
It can't ask for any more than that.
Well, in wrapping up here, is there any words of wisdom that you could offer to maybe some of the new people? I know when we go to the Delta plant, we may be getting some new people in there. Being a woman in the skilled trades arena, some words of wisdom to new people coming in who may wish to get into that arena?
Education to me is extremely important. GM UAW benefit is TAP, pays for classes. You can never have too much education. Nobody can ever take it away from you. Take the test. You know, if you get an opportunity to go on skilled trades, do it. You know, remember, you can always learn something from everybody, even if you don't necessarily like who that person is. they can always teach you something. Have an open mind. Know you're going to work hard. I mean, because it's not always easy. Sometimes people won't like you just because you're a woman. I think that's probably less and less now, but it can still happen. But I think if you just do your job and say, hey, you know, I'm here, I'm going to work, I'm going to do my job, that's what we're all about. We're all here, we all have a job to do, and get an education and get it done. It's
very good. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate talking with you, and it's been very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.